Good morning and welcome to Truth Tracks, a program designed to track God's truth through God's Word. Truth Tracks is provided by Parkview Baptist Church, which is located at 2644 Christmasville Road in Jackson. Your speaker today is Pastor Roger Ellsworth.
Please find again 2 Kings chapter 23, 2 Kings chapter 23. I've been thinking a good bit in the last few days about the future of Parkview Baptist Church. And if you were here last Sunday, you will remember that I proposed a strategy for Parkview to move ahead. And it may seem to be a peculiar strategy, but here it is. Go ahead by going back. And I do believe that if Parkview is to make progress in the future, if we're to become a flourishing church, a church that brings honor, great honor, to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I remind you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why we're here, is to bring honor to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope that you join me in desiring to do that, and to do that to a large, large degree. And I was about to say that if we are to do that, we must go back to some things. And this is a brief series of messages. Last Sunday, we looked at the theme, Going Back to God. And today, we have the theme, Going Back to the Bible. And next time I'm with you, the Lord willing, we'll be looking at going back to the gospel. And then I want to wrap this series up on our homecoming Sunday by talking with you about going back to the church. And I do believe that to the extent that our Parkview family goes back to these things, we can expect our church to be healthy and vibrant and vigorous in the future. I think you will agree with me. You see the wisdom in these things, don't you? You understand that our church cannot be vigorous if we're straying from God. We need to go back to God. And you can't go back to God if you don't go back to the Bible, folks. And so this, I would say today, logically follows what we established last week. We must go back to the Bible. And if we go back to the Bible, we're going to have to go back to the gospel, because the gospel is the great theme of the Bible. So all of these things hang together. And this is my prescription, and I think that I'm safe in saying that it is the prescription of the Word of God for this church, and it's the prescription of the Word of God for every church that desires to bring honor to the name of Christ. So today we're considering the second of these themes, and we're talking about, as I've already said, going back to the Bible. Now we're here in this 23rd chapter of 2 Kings, and these verses that I read a while ago represent just a small portion of an extended account of the condition that Judah was in and of what God did to pull Judah back from that condition. The time that we have described in beginning in chapter 21 of 2 Kings can only be described, I think, as a nasty, vile, disgusting time. We're talking today about King Josiah taking the people of Judah back to the Word of God. But I'm referring now to the time immediately before King Josiah came to the throne. I'm referring to the time when his grandfather Manasseh was reigning over Judah, and then of course, Manasseh was succeeded by Josiah's father, Amon. And I'm saying to you that this was a disgusting, vile, wicked, godless, corrupt time. Now, you may be saying, well, Pastor, you're kind of laying it on pretty thick here to use all of these words to describe this. Well, try this on for size. Go back to chapter 21 of the book of 2 Kings. And look there at verse 6. And you see those words, he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. This is a description of what Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, did when he was king over Judah. And this man, Manasseh, was such a godless specimen, ladies and gentlemen, that he even went to this extent. He sacrificed one of his own sons to one of his idols. breathtaking, breathtaking in its wickedness. A depth of iniquity that we find hard to believe. Manasseh took one of his own sons and put him to death in the worship of one of his false gods. And things didn't improve any when Amon came to the throne. Manasseh died and Amon came to the throne, Manasseh's son. And look at verses 20 and 21 and 22 of chapter 21. We read that Amon did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked. He served the idols that his father had served and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. And so I think you will agree with me now that I have not overstated my case when I describe the era of Manasseh and Amon as a nasty, vile, disgusting, reprehensible time. Well, God, of course, ladies and gentlemen, did not ignore the wickedness. And I should add that not only were Manasseh and Amon wicked kings, but the people themselves became very wicked during this time. The people themselves bore a large load of responsibility because they gladly and willingly went along with the idolatry and the wickedness of their kings. But none of this escaped the attention of God. And because of the extreme wickedness of the era of Manasseh and Amon, God proposed to send calamity upon the nation of Judah. Go back to your 21st chapter, and there it is in verse 12. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I'm bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And if you come up to the 22nd chapter and the 16th verse, you find these words. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. How had Judah gotten in such a mess? How had Judah stooped so low? This nation that had been so signally blessed of God, stooping so very low, getting so far from God. How had it all taken place? And there's no mystery here, my friends, because the Bible tells us that these things came about because these people got away from the Word of God. They got away from the Word of God. You see, God had a word for these people. God told them that they must love Him and serve Him. We're going back now to the books of Deuteronomy and specifically to the books of Moses and specifically to the book of Deuteronomy. God told the people that they must love Him and serve Him only, that they must not go after idols. And God promised to bring blessing upon them if they would stay true to Him. And God also promised to bring calamity upon them if they were to disobey Him and go after idols. And now here they are. They're doing everything that God had told them not to do. They are not serving the Lord God. They're going after their idols. And now they're under the sentence of calamity. And all of this was laid out for them in advance when God spoke to their fathers. God gave them a word about all of this. And so they're in this mess that we find in chapters 21 and 22 because they have not paid attention to the Word of God. And that just simply leads me to say this. When we stop heeding the Bible, we're always on the road to disaster. And we gather here this morning with a keen consciousness that our own nation seems to be in very serious trouble today. I wonder what your explanation is for the state of affairs that we find in our own society. It seems like godlessness is abounding on every hand. It seems like that calamity is hovering over this nation. How did it all come about anyway? You might be saying, well, the problem is this governmental action. The problem is this decision by the Supreme Court. The problem is that we did not get the proper people elected here, and we did not get the proper people elected there. Has it ever occurred to you that the problem is that we have gotten away from the Word of God? And we cannot expect God's blessing on this society. We cannot expect God's blessing on our church. We cannot expect God's blessing on any church until we get back to the Word of God. Getting back to health in a society, getting back to health in a church is always a matter of getting back to the Word of God. And that was the great business before Judah at this particular time in their history. And I would say that's the great business before us. Some of you might be saying, oh, well, in these times of such turmoil, these times of such confusion, these times of such worry, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just had a manual that we could check? If we could just have a manual that we could refer to and find direction and guidance? May I simply say to you that we have the manual. All we need to do is get back to the Word of God. It's always foolhardy for any group of people to abandon the Word of God, and it is always wise for the people to return to the Word of God. And I'm calling our Parkview family today to give proper consideration, to give serious and urgent consideration. I'm calling you as an individual to think seriously about how you stack up against the Word of God. Does the Word of God hold in your affections the place that it once did? And if it does not, may I simply urge you to address that and begin giving the Word of God priority once more. And I'm going to talk with you about that, how to do that here before we close. But I'm so glad to be able to report to you today that while it was a vile and godless time during the era of Manasseh and Amon, that God gave the people of Judah a temporary reprieve. God, because of the wickedness of Manasseh and Amon and the wickedness of the people, God said, I'm going to send calamity upon you. I'm going to send calamity upon you. And by the way, he did. He did. And oh, what calamity came upon these people. I'm talking about the calamity that we know as the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians came in. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed the beautiful temple of Solomon. They broke down the walls of the city, and they took most of the people back to Babylon as captives. That was the calamity, and those people were in captivity for 70 long years. Many of them died there in captivity. And so God did not rescind the calamity that he promised to send here, but he did give them a temporary reprieve. And that temporary reprieve came in the form of Amon's son and Manasseh's grandson, Josiah. And we have here, in the midst of all this disgusting business of the wickedness of Manasseh and Amon, we have here the refreshing word about Josiah and the reformations that Josiah introduced into the kingdom of Judah. And so this temporary reprieve came through Josiah. And why did God give the people a temporary reprieve from judgment? Well, go back to what I said a while ago. How did they get into such a mess? They got into such a mess by refusing to heed the Word of God. Now, here's how they received a temporary reprieve from judgment. They went back to the Word of God. Back to the Word of God under Josiah. And God gave them this temporary reprieve that I've been talking about. And so we have here modeled for us by King Josiah the matter of going back to the Word of God. Now, Josiah had been reigning a few years when it was put into his heart that he should renovate and repair the temple of the Lord that Solomon had built. And we should not be surprised as we read our scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, that the temple of the Lord was in need of repair and in need of renovation. Every time that idolatry flourished among the people of Judah, the temple fell into a state of disrepair. And Josiah came to the throne, and Josiah had not been reigning too long until he decided that it was time to open up the temple and to clean it and to renovate it. And so he set upon that business. And in the process of renovating the temple, a book of the law was discovered. Bible commentators are virtually united in their understanding that this is none other than the book that we know as Deuteronomy. And when that book was discovered, someone took it to the king, King Josiah, and he read it to the king. And the king trembled when he heard the message of this book of Deuteronomy. And I would just simply say to you that if you're not familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, you should go back and read it, and you will understand why Josiah trembled when he heard the message of that book. It was such a perfect description of what the people were not to do. They were not to go after idols. It was such a perfect description of what would happen to them if they did. God said, I will send my judgment upon you. I will bless you if you will stay true to me, and I will curse you if you desert me. And all of that had been unfolding in the nation of Judah. And Josiah, when he heard that book of Deuteronomy read, said to himself, this fits our nation to a T. And so he immediately set himself upon a course of getting his nation to go back to the Word of God. And that's how this reprieve came about. The nation went back to the Word of God under the leadership of King Josiah. And as they went back to the Word of God, God delayed the judgment and he brought a measure of blessing to the people again. And in this passage that I read earlier, we find Josiah, look there at your second verse of chapter 23. We find Josiah gathering the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, all the people, small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. And then in verse 3, he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments. This is exactly what Judah had been needing. He made a covenant to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And look at how verse 3 closes. All the people took their stand for the covenant. So king and people agreed that this was the course that was best suited to bring blessing to their nation, to stand for God's holy word. And this is still, my friends, the prescription for health. This is still the prescription for vitality. This is still the prescription for stability, to get back to the Word of God. Now, with that as our background, I want to take the time I have remaining to talk with you a little bit about what is involved in getting back to the Word of God. What does it mean to go back to the Word of God? And the first thing I would say is it means go back to believing the Word of God. And then I want to say a little bit about go back to receiving the Word of God. And then finally, go back to obeying the Word of God. All of these things, I suggest to you, are bound up in this business of going back to the Word of God. Think with me about the first thing. Go back to believing the Word of God. It's interesting to me that whenever Josiah hears the book of Deuteronomy read, go back to your 22nd chapter and the 11th verse. It happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. It's interesting to me that Josiah did not for one moment question the validity of this book of the law. He did not for one moment question the validity of this book of Deuteronomy. He accepted it at face value. And in verse 13, we find that he says, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. This was how Josiah responded. I wonder if it has ever occurred to you to think of how people today, many people today, might very well respond if they were in the position that Josiah found himself in. Here his nation is in serious trouble, and someone carries in this book of Deuteronomy and is read to Josiah. I think many modern people, if they were put in that position, would say, well, now, wait just a minute. After all, this is a very old book. It's been around so long. It doesn't have any application. It doesn't have any relevance. It doesn't have any significance for us. We, if we found ourselves in that position, if we were in Josiah's sandals, we might find ourselves saying something like, well, no one believes that way anymore. But it doesn't occur to Josiah to question the validity of the book. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Josiah accepted this book of Deuteronomy at face value. He believed it. He believed it. He didn't question it. And I am saying that if we are to go back to the Bible, we have got to first go back to believing the Bible. And this, I think, is an urgent and needed word today, because the truth of the matter is, many pastors, many churches have all but abandoned the doctrines of the Bible. And even to the point that we find it's possible to hear people deriding and scorning the very word doctrine. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard people say, well, I don't like that word doctrine. Well, my friend, the word doctrine is a perfectly legitimate and fine word, and I hope that we here at Parkview will embrace it and never dismiss it, because the word doctrine simply means teaching. Doctrine is whatever the Bible teaches. And if you tell me that you're interested in what the Bible teaches, I do not hesitate to tell you that you are interested then in doctrine. Doctrine. And how much, though, I say, of the doctrinal core of the church is being abandoned today. And this should cause all of us great concern. I say to you, you can't get back to the Bible if you don't get back to believing the Bible. If you've got this approach to the Bible that just picks and chooses, well, I like that, so I'll believe that. Some people believe in a inspiration of the Bible that we might call the spot inspiration theory. It's inspired in spots, and I'm inspired to pick out the spots. And that's their approach. If we expect the blessing of God, we've got to return to the Word of God, and returning to the Word of God means returning to a deep-seated belief in all of it. All of it. Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. Now, you must not say, well, I believe the parts of the Bible that don't seem to pose any problem as far as modern thinking goes, and I'll reject the rest. No, that's not believing the Bible. But this is going on with great frequency these days. There are many people who consult the latest opinion poll to find out what they believe. And guess what? Many of the latest opinion polls are miles removed from what you find taught in the Bible. Now, you and I have got to make up our minds today. If we are people of God, we have got to believe the book of God. And that means believing it even when it binds, even when it pinches, even when it puts us miles away from the latest public surveys. Believe the Bible. Does that mean I have to believe what the Bible says about sin? Yes. Does that mean I have to believe what the Bible says about coming judgment for the sinner? Yes. Does that mean I have to believe that there is salvation in a Jewish rabbi hanging on a Roman cross outside the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Yes. It's all in the Bible. And we have to get back to the Bible. And that means believing the central message of the Bible. All that the Bible says is the Word of God. And so I don't hesitate today to call you back to believing the Bible. But going back to the Bible goes further than believing the Bible. We also have to receive the Bible. Now look there at your second verse of 2 Kings chapter 23. And you see that phrase there toward the end of the verse, referring to King Josiah. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. And so Josiah gathered the leaders and the people of Jerusalem together, and he reads for them the Word of God. And I'm calling this receiving the Word of God. Now, my friends, it's very crucial. It's critical. It's absolutely vital that you and I believe the Bible. But it's also vital that we be receiving the Bible on a regular basis. The Bible is to you spiritually what your physical food is to you, what your temporal food is to you physically. The Bible is to you spiritually what the food on your table is to you physically. Now, you cannot be healthy and flourish physically if you're not eating. And you cannot be healthy spiritually and flourishing spiritually if you're not taking in the Word of God. Now, my wife doesn't have to coax me. She doesn't have to beg me, baby me, or bribe me to get me to come to the table and eat my food. And so it is in the spiritual realm, my friends. We should have an appetite for the Word of God that is of such a nature that we want to take in the Word of God in large amounts. That's my desire when I come to the table, is to take in Sylvia's food in large amounts. And I have to discipline myself so that I don't take in too much. It would be very easy to do. Where is the desire among us to take in as much of the Word of God as we possibly can? Those of you who are not more faithful in attending the house of God, where's your appetite? Where's your appetite? You shouldn't be saying, how little can I get by with? You should be saying, let me have as much as I can possibly get. Where's your appetite for the Word of God? And an appetite for the Word of God manifests itself in various ways. One thing is you have to be reading the Word. Josiah read this Word to the people on this occasion. But there are other ways of receiving the Word as well. Not only should we be reading the Word of God in large amounts, may I simply ask you, are you taking in the Word of God through reading? Are you doing this on a daily basis, reading the precious Word of God? And that's part of it, reading. But there are other ways as well. What we're doing here this morning is part of receiving the Word of God. Someone is standing before you to declare a portion of the Word of God, and you are required to give this a diligent hearing. The book of Hebrews warns us about being dull of hearing. There's so many today who seem to need persuasion and coaxing to hear the Word of God, something that they should be vitally interested in just by virtue of the fact that they have been redeemed by the grace of God. That's their profession. And I say just by virtue of that, they should not have to be coaxed to take in the Word of God, but many today are in that position. They're dull of hearing. They're not eager. I do believe that Parkview's future hangs to a large extent on people having a great appetite for the Word of God. May God help us to go back to the Bible in that sense. And then finally, I've left myself just a moment to say something about the third thing here, which is obeying the Word of God. Look at your third verse of 2 Kings chapter 23. The king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep His commandments, His testimonies, His statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And oh, I tell you, that should be our spirit. It's not enough to simply pay lip service. Not enough to go out here today and say, well, you know, the pastor was really right. We need to go back to the Bible. We cannot go back to the Bible if we do not believe it. We cannot go back to it if we're not receiving it. And we cannot go back to it if we're not obeying it.
Parkview Baptist family thanks you for listening today and invites you to track God's truth through God's Word each Sunday morning at 7 on Truth Tracks with Pastor Roger Ellsworth. The Parkview family also invites you to join them each Sunday for Bible study at 9:30, morning worship at 10:40, and evening worship at 6. you will always find a warm welcome at Parkview Baptist Church, 2644 Christmasville Road in Jackson.